Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Fantasy Baseball Hour.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This has got to be a home run. Unbelievable. A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just
everybody, and welcome. It's time for the Fantasy Baseball Hour. I'm Matt Stryker. Joining me back from the beyond, Mike the Rotocop. Mike, what's going on? Everything good? You safe? Country safe?
Country is safe. I am safe. I could be a little safer if a couple of my fab bids went my way about an hour ago, but we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, Mike the Rotocop on Twitter. If you guys don't follow me already, follow us at Fantasy BB Hour on Twitter as well. And I do the Wednesday DFS at pitcherlist.com. So DFS is something that me and Matt are both interested in and we'll touch on also. Matt, did you happen to catch any of the golf this weekend?
No, I saw the leaderboard and then I saw the results. But I was definitely far more distracted in the sports world with baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you had the golf. Brooks Koepka won his fourth major. The Wilder fight, I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff online of just the right hand. What I liked about it the best was, so like I trained in Gleason's gym, it's a boxing gym, and you watch it, he's trying to avoid, I guess it's the left hand coming the other way, and he nails it and he continues away in his movement and then just calmly walks away. It was really pretty.
Yeah, and I'm a big Morrow guy, but I don't know about the call. I don't know if you heard his call for that one. That was a little weak. I don't remember what he said exactly, but it wasn't up to his standard. He has a very high standard in my eyes, and it wasn't up to his standard. NBA playoffs, we're recording this on Sunday night. The Raptors just got finished beating the Bucks in double overtime. Warriors are up 3-0. You think the Warriors are going to repeat again?
I think it's Warriors-Bucks, and I think that's fun. I think that's good for the league, but hang on. I needed to go back and do something. I guess announcer's creed, man. So could you do a better job on a call? A lot of people criticize like announcers and stuff online, and I've been subject to it. And I often wonder in the moment, I believe everyone's talented, uniquely talented. How would you, in what you perceive to be proper calling of sports based off of what you've seen, how would you have called that knockout? Come on, now you're on the clock. Here we go. It's your turn. You're going to criticize him? Call it.
It's funny because he doesn't have the opportunity to think beforehand. And even with the opportunity to think beforehand, I still wouldn't be able to even come close to that call. But he just sets a high standard for ring announcers. So I'm going to bow out on this one. I don't think I'm up to that standard.
I get a point for all broadcasters around the world to try to push back. And people, it's not like, hey, you do better. But, you know, give it a shot and put yourself in their shoes. So either way. So, yeah, all that goes on. And see, what I like is while there are people like you, I am seriously obsessing. Mike is, you know, out on like friendships and relationships. I want to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I own 6 of what I deem to be the top 7 call-ups in the last 14 days in my 7 of 9 leagues.
That's crazy.
I'm that obsessed right now. Yeah.
That's crazy. This was in NFBC world, it was called the Fabageddon because of all the call-ups that happened this week. You got Austin Riley, Willie Calhoun, Nicky Lopez, Keston Hirara. How do you say it?
Keston Hirara.
I don't know why. That's always a tongue twister for me. Mercado got called up. Brendan Rodgers got called up. Corbin Martin was available for the first time on NFBC. So it was a wild Fab Sunday. How many of the guys did you say you had?
I own, in out of 7 or 9 leagues, I own at least one share of Mercado, Lopez, Hirua, Riley, Rodgers. I don't own any Calhoun. I don't own any Martin.
All right, so in my Yahoo Pro League, I got a hold of Lopez, Mercado, and Rodgers. I missed on Keston by 3 minutes, so that one kind of hurt. I missed on Austin Riley because I don't even remember what I was doing, but I missed on Austin Riley and Willie Calhoun. I missed on as well by literally 10 minutes, so I was pretty bummed. But all signs were pointing to Sunday night, which is at about an hour and 3 minutes ago, the Fab ran in NFBC. And I got, out of all those guys, just Nicky Lopez in one league for $76. I got him. He went for $113 in the other league I was in. I also put a $76 bid on him. Austin Riley went for $309 and $284 in two of my leagues. Calhoun went for $234. Like, the numbers are insane. Mercado went for $109 and $111. Brendan Rodgers, $309 and $211. Corbin Martin went for $123 in one league and only $6 in the TGFBI, which is an industry league. I don't know if people thought they were going to be outbid, so they just didn't place a bid. But your guy, Donkey Teeth 87 on Twitter, he put a keep him honest bid of $6, and he actually ended up winning him. So that was a good move by him. He also got Scott Kingery for $9, who's coming off the deal. So I thought he had a good Fab week. The Fab's crazy, man. There's the runner-up on Nicky Lopez that I got for $76 was $70. I got Howie Kendrick in a league for $21. The runner-up was $18. Some of the two-step pitchers, Sean Anderson, I got for $11. I actually tied somebody for $11, and I had the higher waiver. Mike Leake, I got for $11. The runner-up was $8. So those are some two-star pitchers. I also got Homer Bailey. But this Fab Sunday was wild. If you didn't spend too much money throughout the year so far, you probably wasted a lot of it this week. And I don't want to say wasted, but you probably spent a lot of it this week.
Utilized it. It's an asset. Now, here's something I heard on weekend talk from, like, you know, a lot of our, just like our buds in the game, man. Yeah. Would you, out of all those players, take any of those players or Malik Smith?
I would take a handful of these guys before Malik Smith. Nicky Lopez, I really am intrigued by him. He seems to have the best path to playing time at all of these guys, and he's done well so far. I'd rather have Austin Riley. I'd rather have Willie Calhoun. When you start getting to Mercado, that's when it becomes iffy because he sat 2 days in a row right after they called him up. But I would take most of these guys over Malik Smith. You feel the same way?
I have to admit, sometimes 3 in the morning, I'm sitting there laying, holding my phone, like I'm face up looking. And I just look at guys like Jordan Alvarez or Kyle Tucker, and I want to make little moves like them. I want to grab, I have Malik Smith in a couple of leagues, but I just wonder, two of these decisions may win or lose me the league. Like, it's happened, you know? So it's things like that that you really start to wrestle with. I go back and I look, I could have had player X. Instead, I took player Y. Look, I missed 45 points and I'm making up stolen bases, and I missed out on money. I was in the fourth place instead of third.
Yeah, so it's always a fluid situation when you're dealing with Fab and when you're dealing with the waiver wire. So if you want to get your guy, at least in Fab, you pretty much can, depending on how much money you spend on him. If you want to waste your whole bank account, quote unquote, then you could get your guy in a league like your league or a daily or a Yahoo league or CBS, ESPN. A lot of that depends on waivers, or if the guys aren't on waivers, they're just free agents, how fast you get the information and how fast you get to your computer.
So let me ask you this. So you say how fast you get the information, how fast you get to the computer, how quickly you get this guy and that guy. If I looked at it in a random Yahoo league, I'll go to one that I'm in. It's a points league, fairly unique, but for the most part, it's normal, understandable. The top hitter thus far in the Yahoo League has earned 220 points. I give you a guess. Who's that hitter?
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, okay. Now, that's 220. That's the tops out of bats. Mm-hmm. I go to the top pitchers, the top 20 score at 231 or more. So conceivably, would you rather have Carlos Carrasco, Cody Bellinger, Max Fried, Cody Bellinger, Cole Hamels, Blake Snell, Frankie Montas, Martin Perez, Cody Bellinger. You'd say Cody Bellinger every time, but statistically, numerically, and practically, you should have any of these pitchers, and you could have four of them. You could have Mike Minor and Caleb Smith conceivably on your team. I could own Matt Boyd and Trevor Bauer and Hyunjin Ryu. No one knew who I had, and look at me. I'm winning every league by miles. What do you think about that at this point in leagues, starting to look at pitchers and starting to sacrifice some hitters?
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw this coming, what's happened this year. I know people are talking about juice ball and everything, but nobody predicted Domingo Herman and Hyunjin Ryu would be top five pitchers this late into the season, even though we're still only a little while in. But Caleb Smith at the top of the pitchers list isn't something that anybody expected. I mean, Mike Soroka has an ERA under one, and he's pitched 37 innings already. So there's a lot of crazy stuff happening. I'd see how it plays out before I decided to stick to either one of those strategies. Personally, I love pitching, but drafting wise, I'm always going to lean towards the hitting side. I think you can find pitching a lot easier than you can find solid hitting. So I'm always going to favor the hitting side of things. But like you said, if you did see it coming and you drafted these pitchers and you stacked up on them in that points league, whatever the categories are, you definitely are towards the top of your league.
So play this game with me. If I meet you, hey, what's up? You like fantasy baseball? Oh, so do I. Let's be friends. Let me tell you about a pitching staff I own. And I say to you, my pitching staff is Brandon Woodruff, Martin Perez, Max Fried, Jake Odorizzi, and Lucas Giolito. What do you think? You'd be polite and be like, oh, that's nice. Wouldn't you? Or would you be like, yo, that's a nasty staff?
5 weeks ago, I would have been polite and said, hey, that's great. Good luck, buddy. But now I would say you saw something most people didn't, if that's your pitching staff.
Yeah, because those guys are third and fourth, respectively, in the league in wins. And that's a high-value category in most leagues. And as far as strikeouts goes, it's been the usual suspects, with the exception of maybe Matt Ford.
Yeah.
Tim up, you're smarter than everyone in the room. Caleb Smith, I don't think he – no, everyone saw him coming, at least people in my circles did. Yeah, it's all the – Woodruff, Brandon Woodruff is and Mike Minor. Those are the outliers and strikeouts. So, yeah, whomever drafted Brandon Woodruff, just ask me if I drafted Brandon Woodruff. Let's do it like that. Go. Nobody's listening, I swear. Says, of course I own him. That's why I'm saying this. But it's things like that, man. I'd rather have Brandon Woodruff than Cody Bellinger right now. Did I just say that? I said it.
You definitely did say that. That will be a quote that I make sure to tweet right after this podcast is released.
Actually, Brandon Woodruff only has 233 points, and Bellinger has 220. So let me take that back. What I'm trying to say is my sneaky, sleepy, sexy is Brandon Woodruff right now.
Some other news is, especially here in New York.
Get out of this topic.
Robinson Cano and this whole hustling thing that we dealt with last season with Manny Machado. Friday, Cano doesn't hustle on a double play ball, and he actually said the video board showed two outs when there was only one out, and they found out later that was a lie. It didn't say there was two outs, so he lied about that. And to make things even worse, Sunday, he hits a dribbler, thought it was going foul, didn't run to first base, and what happens? It stays fair, and it was an easy double play. So Robinson Cano is definitely the GOAT right now for the New York Mets and all their problems going on. And I was just wondering, in wrestling, is there any kind of like, I don't know the right word to use here, but hustling, like if guys aren't really giving it their all in a wrestling ring, can you tell that just by watching being a pro wrestler?
So there's a couple of things, you know, that I've come to learn. You expose who's athletic and who isn't very quickly if you're doing this 200X nights a year. So mm-hmm. I know that if you're athletic, I can go with you. Let's say I'm making it up. You jump really well. Like that's your thing. Well, at least I know every night we can get a cool like leapfrog, drop kick, go Rana kind of thing in, and it's going to be okay. If you're lazy and you're a sack, and you're going to drop me on my head, or the move's going to look bad, or you're going to be what's called, we call blown up, which is like can't breathe. Watch next match you watch. Try to find out if the guy's breathing heavy. Watch his stomach. Watch his chest. Watch his mouth. Some guys get blown up quickly. Some guys never get blown up at all. Tommy Dreamer, bless him, he is 280 pounds. Don't tell him I told you that. That guy will not blow up. He can go 30, 40, 50 minutes and never, ever sack. I body slammed him. And bets on the truth. So there you go.
It's definitely an interesting aspect to the wrestling world and to the baseball world when guys are talking about hustling. Shane Bieber, complete game shutout, 15 Ks. I don't know if you caught any of it.
Yeah, I own him. I own him. He's mine.
Fewest pitches in a 15 strikeout shutout since 2014. The fourth youngest pitcher with 15 strikeouts and no walks. The second Indians pitcher ever with 15 strikeouts and no walks. The youngest Indians pitcher ever with 12 plus
second
strikeouts.
Indians pitcher ever with what?
With 15 strikeouts and no walks. Outside of Bieber's two starts this year against the White Sox in Atlanta, he got hit for 5 earned runs in each of those games. But other than that, he's been awesome. His ERA is down to 3.2. He has 69 strikeouts and 58 innings pitched, and he is the breakout star that everybody thought he was going to be.
Yeah, so far so good. I dig on it. Listen, man, I got to tell you, I am happy, happy, joy, joy with the weekend that I had in the daily slate. I talked a lot about it in the last episode, but a lot of things that I stayed off of, just for whatever reason, I'll be honest, not strategized, couldn't fit player so-and-so in the lineup. Everyone pretty much came in for me. I feel real good about the way the season's going for all of my fantasy teams. How do you feel right now as a GM of yourself? How are your teams doing? How are you doing personally?
In my three main leagues that I want to speak about, I am in 7th place in my Yahoo Pro 1000. I've run into some bad luck there, 7 out of 12. In the main event qualifier for... on NFBC, the Fantasy Benefits main event qualifier, I'm in 6th out of 15. I've dropped a little bit there. And in TGFBI, I am in 8th out of 15 currently.
Yeah, listen.
But I have been hit. I have been hit with the injury bug. I had Trey Turner in both NFBC leagues. I have Giancarlo Stanton in one of those. I have Francisco Lindor in another one who missed time in the beginning of the year. So now Stan's starting a rehab stint tomorrow, I think I read. So things are turning around a little bit now with Turner back, so we'll see where the next month takes us.
Listen, just give me your passwords. I'll take over a team with you. I'm telling you, man, I could work you magic, buddy.
We'll see where I end. It's not how you finish, it's how you end.
It's not how you finish, it's how you end. I'm going to keep that in the show. I'm not touching that. That stays in, bro. Oh, I love it. Listen. See, that's the thing about this game, so to speak. The weather's getting nicer and stuff. It keeps you young. It keeps your mind working. It keeps you involved.
That's what I said. I said it's not how you finish, it's how you end. I just got it now. I meant to say it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Right. That's sure. That's what you meant. All right. Sometimes I don't know what to do. So, listen, you also like to do this pretty much every week, and I think it's really helpful, is you have a keen eye for just guys that are playing that are outliers, that are statistical outliers, or guys that are playing what we call over their head, with their hair on fire, which I always do as a kid. So if you call it, is he for real, you run down a list of players and you ask if they're for real. And by that, we mean if someone that you're worth, you're going out and getting, they're probably available on your wire for the most part. But if there's someone to trade for long-term, that I wouldn't so much agree with. But, Mike, what do you think about talking about Howie Kendrick?
Howie Kendrick is awesome. 17% owned in Yahoo. He coming into tonight, he was hitting .311 with 6 homers, 24 RBIs. And he homered again tonight. He hit his 7th homer. He's 35 years old. He is what I call a Statcast hero. If you look at all of his Statcast numbers, he is over the 90th percentile in hard hit rate, expected batting average, expected slugging, expected WOBA. If he's out there, I would definitely try and grab Howie Kendrick. His 2018 O-swing was 40.3%. Now in 2019, that's set down to 34.9%. His swing and strike rate last year was at 10.7. Now it's at 7.0. The soft contact is down. The hard contact's up. His BABIP is .310. And like I said, he's hitting .311. So he's for real. He's as real as it gets for me. Probably the realest in this segment that we've done so far this year. I'm all over Harry Kendrick. I think if he's available, you should definitely add him.
What would you do if Christian Vasquez is on your waiver wire?
I would add him as well, because he's just about average in all the Statcast categories. Not exceptional, but his peripherals are there. They've also added framing. I don't know if you saw that on Baseball Savant for the StatCast numbers, which I thought was pretty cool. It's like a cool little nugget.
That is cool, though.
Yeah, yeah, so they added the percentile for framing. Back to Vasquez, though, he doesn't strike out much. He's way below league average in O-swing and swing and strike. And he's really patient, has a really good eye. If he played any other position, I'd probably say don't go out there and get him. But the fact that he's a catcher and he's only 26% owned, he's hitting 309 with six homers. So that's very good for catchers. So I would definitely go out and add Vasquez and Kendrick if you can, especially Kendrick.
Here's a guy that I saw you sent me a message to add him to this list of questions. I think I would definitely take a flyer on this guy here, depending on if he had like two-start week and who it would be against and things like that. That's Jordan Lyles. What do you think?
I am actually going to disagree with you, Matt. Even though he is 54% owned and he is having a phenomenal season, I don't know if you saw our friend Robbie Rowland did a breakdown on him after his last start. He thinks he has the best curveball in baseball in the entire major leagues. So if you want to check that out at therobbierowlandshow.com. But Lyles has an interesting story because the Padres didn't want him last year. They could have kept him for cheap. They didn't. The Brewers picked him up, and they didn't want him, so they got rid of him. And now Pittsburgh is reaping all the benefits for it. Fastball, slider, curveball, changeup, simple mix there for him. Fastball sits around 93. The pitch value on his curve, slider, and fastball are all above 3, so all those things sound great, but he is not the Statcast hero you want to see, and that makes me a bit skeptical. His fastball spin is poor. His exit velo is poor. His hard hit percentage is poor. He doesn't get as many swings and misses as we would like to see, so I expect him to come back down to earth. He's kind of a guy who I think will be as good as the competition he faces, so I think he will be a pretty good sell-high candidate right now.
So I have 3 points to make. First one is, if I was at home and I hear this and I go, I want to know for myself, where can I find Jordan Lyles' current FIP and his current ERA? Like, which site would you use to go and try to find that if you were sitting at home and wanted that?
I'm a big Google fan, Matt, so I would just Google.
You like that? You like Google?
Jordan Lyles fan graphs and click the first thing that comes up. And the thing with fan graphs is you could customize the first thing you see. So the way I have it customized is probably a little crazy, but out there, whatever you want, you could customize it to that certain way, and every player will pop up that way. With Lyles, his FIP is a 3.24. His XFIP's a 3.94. So that's obviously
3.24, and what's his ERA?
His ERA is 1.97. Do you have some sort of special FIP calculator over there?
No, but my FIP calculator's a Willard. I'm trying to figure out, because normally if the FIP and ERA has a discrepancy, then that tells you a little bit more about what the pitcher is doing.
His Sierra is also a 3.99.
But my other issue was going to be to say to you, we had mentioned how Belly is leading all hitters in Yahoo leagues with 220 like total points for the season. Jordan Lyles 219. So if I came to you and covered the names and I said, you can have a pitcher for 219 points at this point in the season, or you can have a hitter for 220 points, you wouldn't know who these two players were, and you'd never ever think about it. Also, there's a race search factor in Pittsburgh, and that's, I think Musgrove's kind of had a regression a little bit, but he'll find something. But with what the coaching staff does over there, is that it changes these pitchers. And I think that Lyles could be a fun guy. He's going to come cheap. You know, what is he, 55% owned, you said? So, I mean, I don't know. I just think he's real. Screw you. I'll fight.
Yeah, no, I would definitely try and trade him to you then. I'd probably get a lot back from you and see what happens.
That's good. All right, next guy. I mean, for real or for not, it's just a question of when he becomes for broken. And that's Josh Reddick, and I just think he's a guy that is benefiting from a team all around him that just like broke a 10-game winning streak, I think, today, right, against the Sox, and Chavis hit one.
Yeah, there's a lot of outliers with Reddick here. He is hitting 324 with four homers and 13 RBIs. He's 32 years old. He kind of is what he is at this point. He's hitting 435 against lefties this season, and he's a career 239 hitter against left-handed pitching. He's such a big contact guy. His BABIP's at 347, which is obviously not sustainable for Josh Reddick. He's another guy who isn't a Statcast hero, and that worries me. Very poor exit velo, very poor hard hit, average ex-woba, average ex-slugging. I think he's another guy you might want to consider selling high on.
I like selling guys high. I really do, especially now. Also, though, I see in a lot of my leagues, people don't trade, you know, and most times people trade with people like they know. And in three of my leagues, I know the guys. So by the team name, I know, oh, that's Mike. Oh, that's so-and-so. We dislike each other. And they will not accept a trade regardless of how fair it is. So a lot of times it's difficult to do that. You have to work the wire. All right, another guy, if you see him floating around and you think you could get him, do you? And that's Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval, very interesting guy here. 2% owned. He is hitting .293 with 6 homers, 15 RBIs coming into Sunday. He actually hit a pinch hit homer on Saturday night. Then he had another pinch hit homer on Sunday. So he's don't get too worried because he did start all 5 games before that. He doesn't walk much, only 3.5% walk rate right now, but he hasn't walked much throughout his entire career. He chases a ton of pitches, 47.5% O swing, which is outrageous. His 15.6% swing and strike rate's outrageous. But he does hit the ball very hard, and when he makes contact, it's hit very hard. His hard hit rate's up to 50% this year, which is crazy. The Statcast numbers aren't available on him yet, so I'll be looking forward to those dropping. But if you're in a rotisserie league and you need power, then I would suggest Pablo Sandoval. But anything other than that, I would probably stay away. So he's more of a depends on what you need kind of guy.
So, you know, we do this, and a lot of times I have to check myself before I wreck myself. See, I know it's up. Because I'm just like, why am I making a move just for sake of making a move? The other night, again, 3 a.m., who knows, whatever, bleary-eyed. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'll just drop Julio Teheran for like Zach Davis. And I was like, am I doing it just to make a move? I mean, they're equal in most things, with the exception of like strikeouts. And I was like, all right, well, you convince yourself, well, Davis is on a better team. Just so you can make a move. Just so you could see your name in the transaction log. I just have to be careful. And I think when we do this, it makes listeners careful when they say, oh, gosh, Pablo Sandoval. Oh, let me jerk my dick for Pablo Sandoval. And you're like, no, I shouldn't get Pablo Sandoval. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. When I was growing up playing fantasy baseball, I literally made moves so other people would see my name. Like guys that I didn't even want. Now I don't do that as much anymore because I got older and wiser, but I know exactly what you mean.
Nice. Nice way to turn that all around. All right. So what I want to do, and I think you're the only person I'd want to do this with, Michael. So this is what I do when I look at DFS coming up. So I'm going to look at DFS for Monday, May 20th, and DFS for Tuesday, May 21. Mike, can we just go around just on some quick pitching matchups, and you'll just tell me if you like certain bats. So I'll just read them off. I'll start. So like we have the Sox are at the Jays, David Price against Edwin Jackson. What do you think? Is there anything that jumps out at you in a short little 30-second tidbit?
No, not much there. Edwin Jackson's back in the majors, which is interesting to say the least. He didn't do too bad in his first start. He actually – I can't remember who he faced, but I remember watching the game. I can't remember who it was that he faced in his first start. I'll look it up now, but I would stay away from Edwin Jackson for that game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go with Sox bats, maybe you do. But then again, you never know. It's just one of those things. And I think there aren't a lot of games on Monday's slate, but there are others that I can move past. And
it was Sean Anderson is who Edwin Jackson faced his last start, making his debut for the Giants.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't Sean Anderson. I heard people talking about him. I had him, and then I think I may have just dropped him for Spencer Turnbull. I like the matchups better. Carrasco against Brett Anderson, the A's and the Indians. Anything there for you?
Yeah, I mean, Carrasco is definitely always interesting to watch, to keep an eye on. As far as Brett Anderson goes, I will make it a goal of mine never to roster him in any kind of anything for the rest of my life. So that's how I feel about Brett Anderson.
How do you really feel? All right, the next game is something, and I got bit by saying this last time out, is that I think it was almost suspiciously chalky. You know, this is Hap, the Yankees at Baltimore, weather permitting, against Andrew Cashner. I just feel like, is this, why are you handing me this money? Like, you know what I mean? I would think Yankee bats all day, yeah?
Yeah, but surprisingly, Trey Mancini, Reynaldo Nunez have had some success against Hap, so watch out for those two going righty-lefty there. But as with, like you said with Cashner, if you could somehow roster Kendrys Morales tomorrow, he has 7 hits and 3 homers against Cashner's career. He should be playing tomorrow, so I'd be surprised if he wasn't. I think that would be the guy to grab in that game for sure.
Nice. That's a nice little sexy tidbit. The Nationals are at the Mets. Who are the Mets throwing? Do you know?
Drew Gagnon is the projected starter the last I saw.
Okay, fair enough. Then I guess your smart money tells you Corbin?
Yeah, for sure. Especially the way the Mets are playing right now and everything going on with the Cano situation, with the Mickey Callaway situation. I would definitely, the smart money goes to Corbin and the Nationals hitters in that one.
All right, the Phils are at the Cubs. It's Jake Arrieta taking the bump against Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish, he keeps roping people back in, I guess I Seriously. Should say. People keep giving up on him, or, and then he brings them right back in. That's a great matchup 5 years ago, or even 4 years, yeah, right. 3 years ago, Yu Darvish against Jake Arrieta. But I would stay away from both pitchers in that one.
All right. Mariners are at the Rangers. It'll be Mike Leake against Mike Minor. What do you think, Mike the Rotocop?
I think that this game holds the two guys that I picked as my one and one for Monday. A guy we spoke about last Monday on the Is He For Real segment, Hunter Pence, is 15 for 39 with five extra base hits against Mike Leake. Pence is flying off the charts with the Statcast numbers. Every single ranking is over an 85 percentile mark. Even his sprint speed is in the 88th percentile at 36 years old, which is something special. Leake's had a decent season. He has a four-year, right? But he's throwing a cutter like an insane amount, and that's Pence's best pitch to see. He's in his career against the cutters. He's in 342. So I would consider putting him in your lineup. I consider stacking Texas because Pence, Chu, Mazzara, and Odor all have good numbers against Leake. And even though there's a lot of good starting pitchers out there tomorrow between Chris Paddock, Mike Soroka, and even Mike Minor, I think I'll go Minor. He is facing the best offense of the three in the Mariners, but he also has the best chance to go deep into the game, in my opinion. The Mariners have seen him a lot, 87 plate appearances as a team, but they're only hitting 241. And he loves pitching at home. He loves pitching in Texas. He has a 1.88 ERA at home this year. His whip's under a one. So that's definitely a game I'm going to keep an eye on and try and stack Texas and even grab Mike Minor if I can.
Nice, and I think that you'll definitely be able to do that, and it'll be inexpensive. Right, I mean, for the most part, and you're saying, you know, grab Pence and grab Kendrys Morales. I don't think those guys are going to be highly priced, right?
Yeah, I should be able to put together a pretty decent squad tomorrow. I don't expect the usage rates of those guys to be too high.
All right, what about the Sox at the Astros? I mean, everyone that's been riding the Astros is winning money. I'll say I did it too. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it. It's Brad Peacock against Ray Cox against, I don't know, Dylan Cubby, Dylan Cease, who is it? I have no idea.
I don't know if they've named the starter for tomorrow yet. I still don't think they have. It was supposed to be Manny Banuelos, but he got hurt. And I would just, if you're going to stack another team besides Texas, I would stack the Astros. Springer got hurt today. He had some back discomfort. Yeah, he's he might actually be a little more hurt than they're saying. Almeidis Diaz is also kind of nicked right now. So a lot of people are going out and grabbing Alvarez and a couple other guys in the minor leagues for the Astros. Assuming that one of these guys goes on the IL, they'll be able to get a cheap get there.
Man, it's so awesome. I mean, having all these young players up and stuff, and then when a team like Houston does it, you really start to feel the league. And there's something about saying, I don't know, it's weird, like, you know, Oscar Mercado, they don't know who he is. But no, I know who he is. Watch, this guy's good. I don't know. There's just something I like about it. I felt that way about this Braves pitcher. Mike Soroka tomorrow. He faces Andrew Suarez at San Francisco. But Soroka's form over the 0.98 ERA. I mean, and he had some injury issues, but I've stayed faithful to him, and he's paid dividends for me. He's my hot pick tomorrow.
Yeah, the numbers speak for themselves. He's having a tremendous season. You said the ERA under one, 36.2 innings pitched, 34 strikeouts. So he's getting his Ks. He really has been dominant. St. Louis at Arizona, at Miami, San Diego, at Cincinnati, Arizona again, and he's got another weak opponent in the Giants here. So he should definitely play tomorrow in DFS. He'll probably get a ton of usage. But if you could grab him and even pair him with Minor, you should have a good pitching day.
Yeah, I mean, it is now. I'm just like gun shy about the chalky because of, like I said, it and it happened with DeGrom this past weekend against Miami. But, yeah, it's Soraka's just there. Again, it's like, why are you handing me this money? Yeah. Two other matchups on the slate for tomorrow is Jake Odorizzi at Taylor Cole, the Twins at the Angels. We featured Odorizzi on our Is He For Real in the past. What do you think about this matchup? You like it? You love it? You hate it? What's up?
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I'm going to stay pretty far away from this one. Mike Trout's 5 for 10 against Odorizzi. Not much else success for the Angels against him, I guess. If you really want to take a flyer on him, you can. He might be a little expensive due to the season he's having, but I would stay away. Taylor Cole, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know too much about him, but the Twins are hitting. CJ Cron's on fire right now, so
yeah.
I would stay away from that game.
CJ Cron's definitely someone that listeners should try to go out and grab. I picked him up in a couple of in a Fantrax league. And, yeah, man, just try to ride the hot hand. Keep an open roster spot for some fluidity. Bruce Lee said, be like water. And that means so much because, yo, it's great. It's fun to be in on the action. And speaking of fun, a game that I just think sometimes I like a game where I have no money on it. You know, no skin in it. I just sit back on the couch and I relax. It's always like a 10 o'clock game. I'm in New York and it's a game on the coast and it's the Padres against the Diamondbacks. It's Luke Weaver, a former Cardinal, Chris Paddock, our friend of the show. Guys have identical records of 3-2. Paddock's ERA is just a snig under 2. It's 1.99, whereas Weaver's at 3.6. What? ERA. And the strikeouts are there. This is going to be fun.
This is, if I'm not mistaken, the first time that Chris Paddock's going to see a team for the second time, or a team's going to see Chris Paddock for the second time. In the first start, the Diamondbacks went 3-for-17 against Paddock with 2 extra base hits. Wilmer Flores got him for a double, and Jerod Dyson and his speed got him for a double. But other than that, they didn't have any success against Paddock. Luke Weaver has shown a lot of bright spots this year. I know some people are back on him. So that should be a pretty good pitching matchup, Luke Weaver against Chris Paddock.
All right, so to reiterate, you like Kendrys Morales if he's there, Hunter Pence if he's there, Texas Bats if they're there, Mike Minor if it's there. Is that right so far?
Yeah, that's what I got for tomorrow, Monday. For Tuesday, right. I have Michael Brantley against Dylan Covey. I think Brantley's a definite play in this one. He's had a terrific season. He's the definition of a professional hitter when Absolutely. People use that term. He's hitting 331 this year. He's having an awesome year. 10 homers, 32 RBIs, crushing righties, hitting 338 with 8 of his homers against right-handed pitching. Covey's been struggling. He has a 4.4 ERA and 16 innings pitched, only 6 strikeouts. It takes a lot to fool Michael Brantley, and I don't think Dylan Covey has the tools to do so.
Nice. I mean, that's a good gem to pull out of a day that we'll be going to talk about Tuesday. There's a whole host of games, and I mean, I'll run it down as quickly as I can, and just real quick, you'll give me a yay and nay if you like something, and then we can dive in. The A's are at the Indians. Our buddy Trevor Bauer against Chris Bassett. Are you on it? Yes, no.
Chris Bassett's having some great starts he's putting together. Bauer, I'll always be on the Trevor Bauer game. Chris Davis has success against him, so that's just something to keep an eye on, but I'm going to ride Bauer until he really either lands on the IL because he's doing so bad or some sort of injury news comes out. But if he's healthy, I'm throwing him.
Fair enough. And neither bats in that series are appealing with that matchup. How about the Phillies are at the Cubs? Zach Eflin versus Jose Quintana.
Zach Eflin, a guy that we featured on. Did we feature him or did we feature Jared Eichhoff on the Is He For Real segment?
Yeah, maybe both, but I think Eichhoff.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember which one we did with the riding with Robbie. Yeah, Eflin's had a great year so far. Quintana's had a great year so far. Cubs-Phillies is always a good game, so definitely tune in. About DFS-wise, I don't know if I'd go with too many guys in this game. Maybe a Chris Bryant. Maybe.
Okay. All right. And this one is, again, the chalk. I'm going to be all over the series. It's going to be Domingo Germán versus David Hess, the Yankees at the Orioles.
Yeah, Germán, I actually picked last week when we spoke about DFS, and he went against the Orioles. He ended up going 7 innings, 1 earned, 8 strikeouts. He gets the ball again against the Orioles. This time it's in Baltimore, but that shouldn't be an issue at all. So I love Germán. He's had a great year, and I would just never pick an Oriole to begin with, but now going against Domingo Germán, I definitely would stay away from all the Orioles.
All right. Now, out of these next 3 games with these 3 pitching matchups, tell me a pitcher and a stack you would build, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rockies are at the Pirates. Germán Marquez is at Chris Archer. The Sox are at the Jays. Eduardo Rodriguez is at Marcus Stroman. And the Nats are at New York at the Mets. It's Eric Friede against Zach Wheeler. So any pitcher there that you love more than anyone else?
Yeah,
everything.
Marquez on the road, I'm all for. Okay. Wheeler might have a tough time with Washington. Stroman's going to have a tough time with Boston. I get a couple of Boston bats in my lineup, whether it be Xander Bogaerts, Christian Vasquez, who we talked about earlier, Even JD for his price would probably be worth it against Stroman. But I think Marquez on the road is something you should always play.
So you would roster Marquez as your pitcher, and what would you make a? Would you go? You go Red Sox stack if you had to out of those other three games we talked about.
Yeah, out of those three, I go Red Sox stack.
All right, so now I'll do the same thing. I can read them. It's Clayton Kershaw at. I don't know who the Rays are gonna throw. It's Caleb Smith.
The Rays don't even know who the Rays are gonna throw.
Right, Caleb Smith at Spencer Turnbull or Sonny Gray at Gio Gonzalez. I want to feel like I want to outsmart myself and say Gio Gonzalez is the smart pick out of everything. But I mean, I guess you got to go Kershaw just because Terrence Smith will give me strikeouts. I don't really know. A stack, I would go a Brewer stack, though, on a lineup. That's it. What do you think? Kershaw at TBD, Smith at Turnbull, Gray at Gonzalez.
Kershaw's going to cost you a lot of money. He'll pay dividends for sure. You know, I'm a Turnbull guy. I think he's a great pitcher. As far as the stack goes, I don't mind the Milwaukee stack against Sonny Gray. I mean, Sonny Gray's shown a little bit of life this year, but I think those guys will be able to get to him, especially Yelich. So I don't mind that. Yelich at home against Sonny Gray.
All right. What about out of these three games? It's the Mariners don't know who they're going to throw against Lance Lynn. The White Sox throw Dylan Covey against Justin Verlander. The Royals throw Homer Bailey against Michael Wacha.
Don't sleep on that Bailey-Wacha matchup. I know both guys haven't put together the greatest seasons, but I think that might be a little more low scoring than most people would think. Obviously, you want to get Verlander. He's going to cost you a ton of money. He'll be the top pitcher off the board. But if you could build a good team around him, I would definitely try and roster him. Just to give you that extra boost, you might be playing somebody that's not even playing because you're not going to have money left over, but that's something you'll deal with and try and figure out, work your way around it.
So here's something I've noticed, right? So between it'll be Monday's slate and Tuesday's slate, there's enough chalk that if you want to play more than one lineup, there's enough chalk for you to truly build something around. And I like that because there are some days, like a Wednesday, Thursday or something, where the pitching slate is not good. It's like, ew, you against you. I don't want to just play because I want to play. But the Cardinal Royal, it's a rematch of the 85 series, actually. I'm old. I don't believe in Homer Bailey. I think, if anything, Wacha has the good day there. Obviously, Verlander's your chucky. Whatever the Mariners do, I would not mind maybe some Mariner bats against Lance Lynn. I hate to say it because I'm a Cardinal fan, but there's just – I don't know.
There's a lot of home run potential there. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, it gets warm. It's hot. It's sticky. The Braves are at the Giants. Julio Teheran, Iran against Sean Anderson. The Twins are at the Angels. Michael Pineda at Trevor Cahill. And the D-backs, you're at D-back, are at the Padres. And it's Greinke against Strom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Matt Strom guy. The Diamondbacks do have success against him. Peralta's 4-for-6. Jones, 3-for-5. Ketel Marte homered off him. So did Eduardo Escobar. But I still like Matt Strom in that matchup. Don't sleep on Sean Anderson. We mentioned him earlier
right. In
his first start last week. He didn't look too bad against Toronto. So that might be a flyer you want to take, even a season-long fantasy, and just see where it takes you. Definitely don't sleep on Sean Anderson. He's got a two-star week this week also.
Yeah, in that regard, for me, yeah, I do like Anderson. I get it. But if I don't have to touch that game, I won't. And Yadier Cahill is cute and sweet. But again, if I don't have to, I won't. And the Greinke Strom thing, again, if I don't have to, I won't. I think that if I'm looking at pitchers for Tuesday, I go back to the chalks. So the Hermans and Verlanders. And then maybe at the return bullet and some of the stacks that I mentioned. That's how I will play Monday and Tuesday in my daily fantasy. Mike, did you play this past weekend? And how did you do?
I did not do very well this past weekend. I got one lineup in each day. And I had some bright spots, but it was a busy weekend with all the sports going on and everything going on. I'm looking to rebound this week, though, that's for sure.
You see what happens when real life gets in the way and you have to go and be like who you really are and you miss being on the show. You don't do well because I did quite well, actually. But whatever, I don't want to rub it in. There are times when you do amazing. And I'm just like, all right, Mike, just give me one third baseman. I give you just somebody to fill a roster with. What else you got going on? Anything else, man?
No, that's it. Hopefully this carries people over into Wednesday's show, and then that will carry people over into Friday's show. And if you didn't hear Robbie Rowland's breakdown in the last segment, in Friday's show. You could still get some useful information out of that. Go follow us at Fantasy BB Hour on Twitter, at Mike DeRotocop, and send me whatever questions you got, whatever you need.
All right. So I think on Wednesday, we're going to go in the lab. Maybe we'll break down Barrel. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good to me.
All right. So now that I got Mike in a good mood, I should quit while I'm ahead. For Mike DeRotocop, I am Matt Stryker. You can find me at Matt_Stryker_ on the Twitter machine. The Instagram is Real Matt Stryker. The Twitter of the show is at Fantasy BB Hour. I don't know what else I want to plug or say. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff, but I will say good luck, be safe, have fun, and we'll see you out there.